want to welcome you to the radio ministry of Church of the Promise in Iway, Louisiana, with Pastors Dwayne and Cindy Daigle. We're a non-denominational Bible teaching ministry with a passion to help God's people find their place in the kingdom of God. We want you to know that your life counts and that God wants to give you a hope and a future. We trust that you'll be both blessed and challenged by today's message. Here is Pastor Daigle.
The title of this message is, It's All About Where We Go From Here, Part 2. We pray this is a blessing to your life.
We start with Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 through 25 is our base scripture. And it says, So I say, live by the Spirit. Everybody say, live by the Spirit. And you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. The King James says the flesh. But what it's really talking about is the sinful nature. Anybody know what I'm talking about when I say the sinful nature? If you don't know what I'm talking about, just imagine the last time you were in Walmart and somebody went the wrong direction to take your parking spot, your good up front, up close parking spot. And you'll know what I'm talking about, that sinful nature. It wants to show up. For this, the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other so that you do not do what you want. And he's talking about you do not do what you want as a Christian. And it goes on to talk about all the acts of the sinful nature. We're not going to go through all of those, but you can read the list yourself. But it includes everything from sexual immorality to hatred to discord to, you know, just selfish ambition. All those things are all a part of that sinful nature. But then it starts talking about the fruit of the Spirit in verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. And like we said, God didn't do away with his law, but what he did do away with is the penalty of the law for those who are led by the Spirit. And then now the law is not something that puts a burden on us. Now the law is something that provides a road for us to walk on, a path for us to walk on. Jesus called it the straight and narrow way, the straight and narrow road. In the Old Testament, it's known as God's commandments, what God's moral law, what God calls right and wrong, right? And so for us now, when we have the Holy Spirit living in us and we are led by the Spirit, we don't have to try to keep the law because the Holy Spirit knows perfectly how to keep the law. We just have to learn how to be led by the Spirit. Does that make sense? And so it's not, you know, just, you know, beat you down. You better do this or you're going to hell kind of thing. Once you're saved, then, you know, that's not the issue so much as it is living a life that pleases God and doing things his way. Although, I do believe that we can put ourselves in great peril, great danger, even as a Christian. And so that's kind of what this message is about. And verse 25 tells us, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So I'll tell you, there's a lot of times in your life, points in your life, opportunities in your life that you're going to get to a place where you're going to have to make a critical choice, that the choice you make, it could be destruction or it could be life, but we all reach certain places in our life where the next step that we take could lead to great destruction or great terrible consequences, or it could start leading to blessing in our lives, okay? And so that's why the scripture says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Now, the farther that we travel, the narrower that path gets and the higher that path gets. And when we talk about the road that leads to life, or we talk about the straight and narrow road, understand that's a road that goes higher and higher, but it's also a road that gets narrower and narrower. Because in our life, because remember, there's the narrow gate and there's the wide gate, but then there's the narrow road and there's the wide road. It's different. So the gate lets you enter, or the door lets you enter, but that road gets more and more narrow as God is sanctifying our life. And God says, well, this was okay for you back then, but now we're going to deal with it right here. So you got to strip this now. things that you never got convicted about, you didn't think anything of it, God says, okay, now that you've gotten this far, now I'm going to have to deal with this. Right? How many of you understand that when you first got saved, there were things you didn't think were wrong? There were, you know, and man, you were just glad that God forgave you of all the stuff that you'd done. But then as you get closer and closer to the Lord and you begin to find out what pleases Him, you realize, wow, I got this in my life. I didn't even realize it was grieving God. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay. And so that road gets a little more narrow, and sometimes it gets so confining and it seems so constricting and restricting that sometimes people want to get off of it. And of course, the enemy comes along and he says, man, look, you don't have to put up with this. There's a road over here. It's a lot wider. It's a whole lot easier to travel. How many of you know it's a natural thing for us to take the path of least resistance, right? It's very easy to go with the flow, not so easy to go against it. And so the natural life just goes with the flow of the world. The supernatural life goes against the flow of the world. But the good news is there is a flow for you too, and it's the flow of the Holy Spirit. And so if you stay with Him, He'll take you right through where you need to get. That involves walking in the fear of the Lord. Remember we said Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. If I have no fear of the Lord, I'm a big dummy. Amen? And so are you, because it starts with the fear of the Lord. Well, what is the fear of the Lord? There's a lot of ways we could define it, but I like the way John Bevere defines the fear of the Lord. He says it's not so much being scared of God as it is being scared to be away from God, because we know He is the source of all good things. And so, and Proverbs chapter 2 lets us know, and we're not going to read the whole thing, but Proverbs chapter 2 verse 7 through 15 lets us know that if we are living in the fear of the Lord, if we are accepting His words and accepting His commands, and we're living in the fear of the Lord, literally it will protect our lives. It'll give us discretion. It'll help us to know what choices to make. It'll save us, the Bible tells us, from wicked men, from those who are perverse, and it will leave us on the straight path that leads to life. And so the enemy of your soul, again, will try to divert you to a path that leads away from God. And listen, hear me. Every day of your life, every hour of your life, every minute of your life, every second of your life, that devil is trying to get you to get off the straight and narrow path and put you on the wide one. Every day, every moment, he never gives up trying to convince you to get off of this narrow road that Jesus has called you to walk. And the world is screaming at you in agreement with the devil to get you there. And so he's going to tell you that road is a whole lot easier. And the truth of the matter is, it is for a season. But then when you get to the end of that road, you realize you've been tricked. You've been deceived, because what I thought was easy led to some very hard consequences. Amen. It's kind of like the thief that thinks about, well, you know, I could get rich real quick if I rob that bank. Well, yeah, you can, but it's only going to be for a little while that you get to enjoy that before the authorities come and take away all your freedoms and put you in a place you're not going to want to be. And so you can do anything you want on this road, is what the devil tells you. And it's true. But he never tells you about the consequences. And so he's painted this facade that looks like this wonderful, easy life on the road ahead. And that's where we get the picture from, of from the Roadrunner, of Wile E. Coyote painting the picture, making it look like the road continues on. But the truth of the matter is there's a cliff right behind the painting. It's all a facade. And if you have the fear of the Lord and you have the desire to please God in your heart, God will show you what's real, what is not. If you make up your mind that you're going to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit and you're going to yield yourself to the leading of the Holy Spirit, it will protect you from falling off the cliff. Okay? And so tell somebody, it's all about where you go from here. When God reveals to you that this is a trap, When he reveals that to you, you're going to have to make a decision. Now, maybe you're like me. Maybe you know somebody that even after they've been warned over and over again, they're still going to keep going. And then what they do is they'll fall into the trap and then they expect everybody else to bail them out. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Now, don't look at them or anything like that. Don't elbow them. Don't do anything like that. But that is the nature of people, that sinful nature, that sometimes even when we know there's a trap, we still think somehow we can get away with it. And what a terrible deception that is. And the enemy laughs at you the whole time. And so you'll find yourself bound up in sin and in all kinds of, you know, sensual pleasures that this world offers, only to find out that the pleasure no longer is pleasure, but it's nothing but straight up pain in your life. And you lose everything valuable, everything that you love, everything that God gave you to be a blessing in your life. You end up losing it and you realize that you're deceived. You've been deceived. And so again, the goodness of God, the grace of God is this, that at that moment, I can still, as long as I'm alive and breathing, I can still do what the Bible says and repent, do a 180, turn around, and start heading in the right direction. You come to that point where that one step, literally that one step in the wrong direction leads to destruction. One step leads also to life, if you'll make that step. And so that's where some of us are in our walk with God, I believe. That's where some of us are in our life. That's where the church in America is today. I believe that we're very close to one step in either direction is either going to ruin us or bring us life. I'm praying that we take the step in the right direction. Amen. And it could be today that you're at a point in your life that you're looking for something more than what you've already had in your life. I pray that's the case. And, you know, and I believe he's reaching for you in this service today. He wants to set your life in the right direction. He wants you to be on the road that leads to real eternal life. And so we talked about Deuteronomy chapter 4 is a prophecy that Moses is speaking to God's people. And in that prophecy, we're actually going to read it, but in those words, he talks about them serving gods of wood and stone. And so he says that when you get to the place where you're being influenced by other gods, little g, other gods, beware, because that is idolatry. Most people are not even aware that they are in idolatry. Most of the American church today is in idolatry and they don't even know it. They don't know it. And so he talks about wood and stone, that, you know, diamonds are made of stone. Diamonds represent, you know, great wealth. And even gold is, though it's gold itself is not from stone, it's extracted from stone. And we talked about money, and I made the statement that even, you know, money is made out of wood because it's made out of paper. Now, it's come to my attention that I had to correct that, because it's not really made out of wood. It's made out of cotton. I didn't know that. But money, the dollar bills, are made out of a cotton fiber, I think, and something else mixed. But the truth of the matter is, it's still made out of something that was created. And Romans chapter 1 talks about the fact that they worship that which was created instead of the creator. So I made a little blunder on that. So I'm pulling that one back right now. So he didn't mention cotton. But the truth of the matter is that I believe wood pretty much represents the plants of the field and so on and so forth. So I just want to make that small correction. But the truth of the matter is that people will make false gods or idols. They don't know it's a false god or idol, but through their actions and what they chase and what they pursue, they let you know where their worship really lies. Now, God wants people. I believe God wants people to be blessed in a way where we can be a blessing. That's what he told the Israelites. I'm going to bless you so you can be a blessing, right? But truth of the matter is, many times we take the very blessings that he gives us and we turn them into an idol, just like the children of Israel did when they plundered Egypt of all of their wealth, and then they turned it into a golden calf, right? So God wants to bless us, but never to our detriment. It's always about blessed to be a blessing. And so idolatry is anything that you allow to come in front of our relationship or your relationship with God. And it's always a matter of the heart. We're going to talk more about that today. And so if you backslide, it's because you backslid in the heart first. Now, how many of you believe it's possible for a Christian to backslide? Absolutely, it's possible for you to backslide. The scripture warns of it constantly. To he who endures to the end will be saved. Over and over again, we're told to endure, to keep going in the scripture. And so why? Because that devil wants to get you off of that narrow road and get you onto that broad road that leads to destruction. And so you allow idolatry to creep into your heart, and the next thing you know, you have gotten yourself into a backslidden state, and many times you don't even know how you've gotten there. And so Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 23 through 31, it says, "Be careful not to forget the covenant of the Lord your God that he made with you. Do not make for yourselves an idol in the form of anything the Lord your God has forbidden." Now, I want you to notice what it says. Do not forget the covenant of the Lord your God that he made with you. What covenant did he make? The covenant he made is his moral law that he gave to them and said, if you do it this way, man, it's going to be a great life. If you don't do it this way, it's going to be a terrible life. Okay? Now, a great life doesn't mean without pain, without heartache. It doesn't mean that you won't be tried and tempted. It doesn't mean that you won't be persecuted. Jesus told us those things would happen. But there's something about knowing that you're in God's will, doing what God said to do, knowing that when it's all said and done, it'll all be worth it. That brings great, great comfort and joy to us. So it goes on to say, be careful. Don't forget that covenant the Lord your God, he made with you. Do not make for yourselves an idol in the form of anything the Lord your God has forbidden. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. We read the other day that not only is he a jealous God, but in one portion of scripture, it literally says his name is Jealous with a capital J, right? And so it goes on and says this. Now think about America. Think about America and America's founding. Supposedly, it was so that people could freely worship God. And so think about America as we read this scripture. After you have had children and grandchildren and have lived in the land a long time, if you then become corrupt and make any kind of idol, doing evil in the eyes of the Lord your God and provoking him to anger, I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you this day that you will quickly perish from the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess. You will not live there long, but will certainly be destroyed. The Lord will scatter you among the peoples, and only a few of you will survive among the nations to which the Lord will drive you. Now, I want you to keep in mind that this is something that the Lord is speaking to the Israelites, but I want you to understand that this is something that applies to every nation, every nation. The Lord will scatter you among the peoples. Only a few will survive. Verse 28, there you will worship man-made gods of wood and stone, which cannot see or hear or eat or smell. But if from there you seek the Lord your God, you will find him if you look for him with all your heart, with all your soul. And when you are in distress and all these things have happened to you, then in later days you will return to the Lord your God and obey him. For the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not abandon or destroy you or forget the covenant with your forefathers, which he confirmed to them by oath. So verse 29 begins with four words that I want to draw your attention to. Thank God these four words are in that scripture. And those four words are this. But if from there, but if from there, he's saying, but if from that place of idolatry, in other words, when you get to a position that you recognize that there is idolatry in your heart, and I encourage you, church, I've been doing this for the last couple of years because the Lord told me very clearly with all of the stuff happening and everything that's hitting our nation and even everything that has hit our area, the Lord told me very clearly, I am cleansing the idolatry out of the church. The problem is the idolatry in the church. If we'll do that, when you get in a position that you recognize there's idolatry in your heart, well, you won't know it if you don't bother to look. If you don't bother to ask the Lord to seek your heart, to show you, to expose that stuff to you. And here's the thing, it's painful and you don't want to see it. I don't want to see it. And we certainly don't want anybody else to see it and point it out. Anybody know what I'm talking about? But you need to know it's there so you can do something about it. You need to know that there is something that you can do about it. But if from there, Tell somebody it's all about where you go from here. The enemy has invaded our ranks, but if from there. There's been influence from false gods, but if from there. We've corrupted ourselves with the things of the world, but if from there. We've done evil in the sight of the Lord, but if from there. Thank God for those four words in the Bible. We've provoked the Lord to anger as a nation and as a people, but if from there. Moses said that it is possible, though there's corruption in the heart, that you could get to this place. And when you recognize it, you can turn around. You can repent. You can get started in the right direction. It is possible today, I believe, in this service, that you could recognize the situation that you're in and realize that you are going in the wrong direction. Listen, the bad thing about deception is when you're in it, you don't know you're deceived. You don't know it. That's what deception is. I believe the heart of God is crying out to the church, and I dare say crying out to Church of the Promise, crying out to you to seek out the heart of the Lord to reveal any idolatrous stuff in your life. If you've got idols in your life, get rid of them. You may not be, you know, bowing down before a statue. You may not be doing that kind of stuff, but the idols that we bow down to usually are not like that. Is there anything more important to you than your relationship with God? Is there anything that gets in the way? Are the things of God just optional for you? Or are they absolutely your life? There might be some who say, well, you know, I'm just straight up lost. I've never come to repentance. I've never repented. Some may say, yeah, I have, but now I've strayed away from God to a certain degree. Some may say, I've allowed some wrong thinking to get in there, to get into my soul and to corrupt my soul, my mind, will, and emotions. Some may say, I've done some things wrong, but now I recognize that I need to get that stuff broken off of my life. I need to get free from sin, no matter what that sin is. Some people have gotten too comfortable with their Christianity and they think they're okay. But the truth of the matter is they're allowing little small compromises, and those little small compromises in their life eventually end in some kind of bondage in their life. They rationalize why it's okay to do this and that, or I deserve this, or I deserve that. Rationalize. Everybody around me is doing it. And I remember when I was in high school going to a Christian school, and yet I felt like I was literally the only one who had any kind of relationship with the Lord. And I remember very clearly looking back at it. I remember very clearly how that thinking caused me some serious heartache and pain, because I began to let go of the things that I knew were right. And when I did, and I stopped feeding myself on the Word of God and spending time with God, I want to tell you, that deception hit me hard, and it hit me fast, to the point of I didn't even know if God existed anymore. And I'd seen all kinds of miracles and signs and wonders and things like that. But I'm telling you, I went through, it was like hell on earth for me for a little while. It was a terrible, terrible place to be. And it all started with me feeling like I'm the only one. I'm some weirdo out here. Nobody else, even in this Christian school, wants to even serve God. I'm telling you, don't fall into that trap. You know, some may say, I feel like I've lost my fellowship with God. But if from there, if you're able to see where you have drifted and you can recognize your condition, if by some beautiful, merciful act of God, you become aware of your condition, if you receive a wake-up call, and I believe this is a wake-up call for somebody, if you recognize your dilemma, if you acknowledge the predicament that you are in, but if from there. Let's look again at that portion of Scripture in Deuteronomy 4, 29 through 31. But if from there you seek the Lord your God, you will find Him if you look for Him with all your heart, with all your soul. See, the problem is so many people are not going to seek Him with all their heart and all their soul. They just want a little bit, just enough to get me out of the crisis, just enough to get me through, just enough to get me a few blessings, but they don't seek God with all their heart and with all their soul. And he goes on to say, when you're in distress and all these things have happened to you, then in later days you will return to the Lord your God and obey Him. Thank God for that opportunity. But thank God we don't even have to get to that place. For the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not abandon or destroy you or forget the covenant with your forefathers, which he confirmed to them by oath. The Bible says that even in the latter days, if you will just call out upon his name. You know, some people, I believe some people here today could possibly be very, very close to that edge. You're close to losing everything that God has planned for you. One step in the wrong direction could mean destruction. But the good news is that one step in the right direction changes everything. Somebody ought to shout hallelujah for that one. Somebody here today needs to say, I'm not going to take that step to destruction. I'm just not going to do it. See, somebody needs to call out upon the name of the Lord today. See, I know that you may be hurting right now. I know that you may be in trouble right now. I know that things may be difficult for you right now. But if from there, if you'll just take a step toward deliverance, if you'll take the step toward victory, toward repentance, it'll take you in the right direction. And I understand that even some who have heard this message who are headed toward a cliff can, if you choose, you can choose not to take that step of repentance. In fact, throughout the scripture, God shows us this. He never forces himself upon anyone. He never makes anyone live for him. He calls us, he prompts us, he pulls for us, he reaches for us, but he never forces us. He will let us make the decision. He never makes us do anything that we don't want to do. For instance, who goes to church? Those who want to go to church. Who doesn't go to church? Those who don't want to go to church. I mean, it's that simple. Who gets saved? Those that want to be saved, right? Who serves God? Who prays? Who reads the Bible? Who lives for God? Simply, those who want to. God is never, ever going to force his will upon us as far as our own personal decision to follow or to serve him. Now, his will be forced upon us in that day if we don't recognize that, but if from there we can turn around, there will be a day when his will be forced against us. And, you know, that ain't going to be any fun. The problem is a heart problem. The Bible speaks of the hidden man of the heart in 1 Peter. You will not take the first step until you deal with the heart. You know, one of the things that over the years that I've learned is, and I really begin to learn this under Pastor Mike, and that is that revelation can't be taught. It has to be caught. It has to be a heart thing. I've got to want it in my heart. I can show up to church every Sunday for my entire life, but if I never truly open my heart to him, I may get a lot of head knowledge. Listen, I know people who can quote the Bible way better than I can quote it, but they are lost as lost can be because it's a head thing and not a heart thing. So you will not take the first step until you deal with the heart. And what most people do when the preaching hits too close to home, they will take the heart issues, they'll put them aside and they'll refuse to deal with it. Why? Because it's too painful. And that's why possibly some are not listening today. It's possible we got people sitting in chairs today in this church who aren't really listening. They've had to tune the preacher out because they don't want to deal with this. We like our idols. And I don't like that you're calling it an idol. That means I got to deal with it. The Bible lets us know that it's the Holy Spirit that causes the secrets of the heart to be revealed. And again, that's why people resist the Holy Spirit because, you know, if they don't, they're going to have to change and they don't want to. I have literally had people tell me about certain sin in their life. They say, but I love it too much. I don't want to deal with it. I don't even want you to pray for me because I like doing it. And I tell them, well, as long as you like it, it's yours. And you get all the consequences to go with it. We need to ask the Lord what he wants. Amen. But again, people resist the presence of God. You know, you can fool people sometimes into thinking everything's okay, but you can't fool God. Man looks on the outward part, but God looks on the heart. Psalm 44:21. Would not God have discovered it since he knows the secrets of the heart? Let me give you another one. Jeremiah 17:9-10. I've quoted this many times over the years, but the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? That's why I tell people all the time, the dumbest thing you can ever say is follow your heart. That'll get you into trouble. Yet that's the counsel that most people, especially the Facebook counselors, that's their best counsel. You just follow your heart, right? You just be you. No, the last thing you want to be is you. You want to be like Jesus. You need to get rid of you. I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward a man according to his conduct, according to what his deeds deserve. The Lord knows everything about the heart. Psalm 139:1-5. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hands upon me. He knows everything about us. Nothing is hidden. And the Bible says that the issues of life are in the heart. Proverbs 4:23, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. So again, don't let anything into your heart to corrupt it. When you're led by the Spirit, going back to our root scripture, our main scripture, when you're led by the Spirit, and when the Holy Spirit is revealing to you what pleases God, and you make the decision to follow that, to allow that to lead your life, then it doesn't allow corruption to come in. It doesn't allow the world to come in. It doesn't allow the evil to come in. Because when it gets into your heart, it's very hard to deal with. And it's very hard to get out of your heart. That's why you can be saved and it takes years for the junk that you've allowed in your heart to get cleaned out. Can I tell you, that's why for many years I was saved, serving God, pastoring a church for many, many years, and God was still ripping stuff out of my heart. And it was very painful to have to deal with memories of childhood, things like that. I didn't even realize I was carrying shame and bitterness because of a third grade teacher that had mistreated me and embarrassed me in front of all the other kids. I carried that with me for years. I didn't even realize that was the source of shame that I was carrying. And it caused me to respond wrong ways and think wrong ways and avoid certain situations. It made me feel constantly disqualified to do what God had called me to do. Thank God he delivered me from that. I'll never forget how he delivered me from that. It was an amazing thing. And then thank God I was able to find that third grade teacher in a store one day and hug her neck and tell her I'm so thankful that she took the time to teach little kids like us. Thank you for doing that. She said, you're the first student that's ever told me that. And she began to cry right there in the middle of the store and told her, I'm a preacher of the gospel now. And I want you to know you had a part to play in that. I didn't tell her what part. That lady stood in that store and cried and hugged my neck. I'm going to tell you, it was all worth that moment. She had no idea, no memory of what she had done. All she knew was that she was being blessed in the moment, and God gave me the opportunity to do that. I'll never forget that. It was a beautiful thing. So my point is simply this. We allow things to get on the inside that we never deal with because it's too painful. I'm here to tell you today, God wants to deal with it. He don't want you to take any of that stuff into 2022. Okay? He wants it all to get dealt with. He wants you to be free. He wants you to be free of shame and hurt and bitterness and all of that junk. He wants you to be free. How many of you would agree he wants you to be free? But if from there, once you find it, but if from there, you can experience the life that God wanted for you. But I can't imagine anything better than going into this next year absolutely free. So again, if it's possible for you, I invite you to come on Friday night from 9 through midnight, and we're going to just allow the Lord to do his thing. And we're going to go into 2022 free. Now, if you can't make it that night, that's okay. You can pray right where you are. You don't have to be here for that to happen. But I'm just praying for the Lord to have his way. Father, thank you. But Father, there are people in this room right now that everybody around, no one would even know what they're dealing with. God, there are people in this room, conviction has come upon them, upon their hearts, God, as you're revealing, as you're giving us an opportunity to come to repentance, as you're giving us an opportunity to turn around and take a step in the right direction. God, there are people in this room today, I believe, maybe they've been getting overwhelmed even with not just conviction, but even condemnation because the devil uses it against them. He tricked them. He deceived them into making a decision that they regret, and then he beats them up over it. Father, I pray for supernatural freedom for them today. I pray, Father God, that today that, but if from here, Lord, we take a step in the right direction, God, I thank you that you'll meet us there. Lord, and you'll link with us arm in arm, and you'll lead us, you will guide us. I know that you will continue to guide us down that straight and narrow path. And God, even when it seems impossible and impassable, you'll carry us if you need to. Thank you, God. I thank you for people, Lord, who want to serve you with their whole heart, Lord. And sometimes we don't even recognize how we're not doing that. But I pray, Lord, you reveal to each one in this house, God, how we can truly love you and serve you with our whole heart and our whole mind, our whole soul. How we can love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength so that we can truly love others as well, God. So I thank you, God. I thank you, Lord, that we declare that 2022, even with challenges coming our way, and we know there'll be plenty, but 2022 will be the most fruitful year of our lives so far. Fruitful for your kingdom. Fruitful for your glory. And Father, I thank you for supernatural strength that no matter what comes our way, we will not turn to the right or to the left, but we will stay on that narrow road and go your way. Guide us by your light, by what you call right and wrong, Father, empowered by your Spirit to walk it out. Thank you, Father. We thank you for it in Jesus' precious name.
Pastors Dwayne and Cindy would like to thank you for joining us today. We trust that your life has been enriched by the Word of God. We want to encourage you to get plugged into a life-giving church in your area. If you'd like to contact us, you may do so at area code 337-582-2090. If you'd like to write to us or send financial support for this program, you may send it to 350 Highway 165, Iway, Louisiana, 70647. You may also email us at cotp@centurytel.net. Church of the Promise is located approximately 10 miles east of Lake Charles and 1/2 mile south of I-10 at exit 44. Our service times are 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 o'clock on Wednesday evenings. Until next time, remember, you are loved and your life is worth living.